Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. So, Shannon, a couple of years we've known each other. We've kind of spoken often about what we're talking about today, which basically is inventory.
Yes.
You know, inventory of you, inventory of me. If I don't take an inventory of Scott, you know, like I do in business, like I do in everybody else's life, like I do collectively, just universally and everywhere. But if I don't take a serious look at who I am, how I got to where I am, what was involved in that, you know, what do I like, what don't I like, what triggers me into bad areas, what could push me into even an addiction or a compulsion or whatever, what are these things? And really, do most of us go through life kind of floundering around, not even thinking about who we are? And does that have a lot to do with maybe mistakes we might make and different areas of our life? I don't know. Have you thought of any of those things? I mean, do they come across your mind when you look at this step, which is the fourth one in our program? What are your feelings about inventory? Is it frightening, or have you done them? Or
definitely. I've definitely thought of these things. I've recognized within myself that in order to check my own inventory, it's so important to examine my own heart and to understand why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. So, and I believe a lot of it's tied back to the environment we were raised in, mm-hmm. our childhoods, our experiences, going through life. There are definite reasons why we make the choices that we do. And some of them can lead to self-harm and mm-hmm. addiction and compulsion and some of the things that you mentioned. And coming into recovery, I recognize that in my own life, one of my coping mechanisms was to constantly wear masks and to pretend to be something that I truly wasn't. And in doing that, I harmed myself and others because I was not facing my reality of who I am. And I was living in denial of things about my past, things about choices and decisions that I was making, whether they were good or bad. So it became evident to me that did I have a clear understanding of what right and wrong was? And why was I gravitating towards what was harmful and self-destructive mm-hmm. for me and everybody else around me? And coming into recovery a few years ago, I wasn't ready to face that. I was still very much in a mindset of being a victim and blaming other people for things that had happened and going so far as to say that this is the outcome because of these things that had gone on. This last September, so September 2nd, 2018, I made a decision that I was no longer going to live a life in addiction. I'd had drinking and drug use problems all throughout my teenage years and my young adult years. When I was 27, I had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed me in ways that are nothing beyond a miracle and supernatural. But yet, when crisis would hit in my life, I would instinctively turn back to addiction. I would have relapses with alcohol and the many other addictions that I struggle with and I still struggle with to this day.
That's an interesting point because you mentioned multiple addictions. Mm-hmm. And before I jump on that, though, I'm going to go back to the integrity, which is the name of the sharing in our Life Recovery devotional today. You know, we're taught to have integrity. Mm-hmm. Yet to live in this world, we've got to have some masks, like you said. Mm-hmm. And you know, it doesn't matter who you are. I think you have to have them. It's a survival. It's like a skill that is bad. It's like an evil skill that's required to live in the world the way the world is today. Yeah. You know, because if you're totally vulnerable, you know, I don't believe this, but I live by it. If you're totally vulnerable, you're going to get hurt with these survival mechanisms. And, you know, maybe that hurt is good for us. Maybe it's not. But I'm not sure.
I think it's definitely a coping mechanism. Yeah. I agree with you that we do these things for acceptance. Mm-hmm. It's hard to resist the norm and really stand out on your own and say, no, this is who I am, and this is who I choose to be, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with that. Yes, there are things that need to be changed. As we grow in recovery, those things become undone, and we recognize the very essence of who we are, mm-hmm. and we make a conscious decision. These things I don't like. I don't like what the outcome is. They're harmful. Mm-hmm. And now what am I going to do to change those things?
Good point. And powerful, too. And I think that is really the mission of an inventory, is to get to where you can make those decisions, where you can erect appropriate boundaries, if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about yes and no before the show, and the reality built around a simple yes or a simple no versus all these promises and I swear on this head and that head and all these different things and I'll do this and do that. Well, even in the good book, even in our scriptures, it teaches us just let your yes be yes and your no be no. So that's about as honest, I think, as a human can be. And not because any of us are, you know, not trustworthy or that kind of thing, but we're flawed as part of this race, and I think none of us get out of this thing without making a lot of mistakes, you know. And it's I accept it today. I accept my mistakes as holy and as I would accept good or anything else or indifference. So I think it's important to just accept where we're at if we're going to move through this life. But back to inventory. I mean, taking an inventory. In your experience, and I don't know how you've taken inventories, if you've used a sheet similar to the one in front of you, or, you know, whether you've sit down and put good things on one side of a sheet and bad things on another, you know, which works. My sense after many years is that the moral inventory really comes down to feelings.
Right.
It comes down to how I feel about certain things in my life, especially the troubled areas. And how I learned to cope with them. But how do you take inventory, or how have you, or you're still kind of in the throes of picking the best way? Or
I think that we're always in a learning experience when it comes to taking moral inventory. Mm-hmm. For me, I was working through the 12 steps mm-hmm. Of recovery from addiction. And I was working through those steps with a step study with a group. At first, because I was so new into sobriety and new to the program, essentially, I resisted. It was difficult. I took a hard look at some things, and I tried to fight what was happening. And then I recognized within myself, if I do this, I'm wasting my time, and I will be right back at ground zero. And that can be much worse than where I was at. So I had some people surrounding me who encouraged me to continue on, and I did the hard work of what we call a step 4 and a step 5 mm-hmm. in recovery. I had to get raw and real and honest with God and say and admit to myself that I've done these things. Mm-hmm. Please take them and do something new with them. Because I cannot afford to live in guilt and shame from my past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I believe that's where real growth happened. I admitted to God, I admitted to myself, and I admitted to another who is my sponsor. And my sponsor demonstrated so much love and compassion towards me, mm-hmm. that what my mind was transfixed on, she literally spoke the truth of God into my life. And she said to me, Shannon, I believe that you have done the things that you've done because of pain, not because you're a bad person, because of what's happened in your life and the pain that that's created. And out of that pain, you have found your own dysfunctional coping mechanisms to suppress it.
Yeah. You know, the interesting concept there, I'm not going to carry on with it at the moment because I think we need to take a break and pay some bills, as we usually say to Jay, who's normally sitting there. And by the way, you praying folks out there, our friend Jay's in hospital, having a little trouble getting this fistula properly working and installed. And that's the medium by which blood is taken out and re-put into people when they're on dialysis. So pray for Jay and pray that some perfect donor shows up out of wherever and is able to offer that kidney, and that would be a kidney that would work for him. So folks, keep him in mind. And for now, we'll be back shortly.